Too old for this. Lack of it. Lovely to see you all here tonight. We hope you'll come to join us as we worship and praise God here in our own way this evening. It's great to see you all. We're going to kick off with a song that you can all sing together. I hope you know it. The word should come up on the screen. And it says, Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Do you know that one? Yes, that's all right then. Where's John? It's lovely to have John with us again tonight to look after the band. He's been doing rehearsals for us now for several weeks, and we love having him with us, and that's great. So I hope he enjoys it as much as we do. Oh, you do? That's all right. That's all right. Shall we stand then, please? There's three verses of this song for the start of our service tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
looking this week, I found a prayer that, I don't know who wrote this, it's anonymous to me, but the words just seemed to fit for here tonight. So I'm going to read that to with us now, and so we will offer this as an act of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for every seat that has been filled here today. For each mind and heart that fills the presence of this room, we thank you. Only you truly know what we are setting out to accomplish today. We have an idea, a vision, hints, and daily instructions. We have talents, abilities, and time to work. However, only you can see in perfect detail the end of every beginning. Every project, every season, every life, nothing is ever in vain, for even mistakes and missteps are used for good. Your righteousness transcends all our efforts and understanding. Forgive us for our pride, the pride that puffs us up, and the pride that threatens to unqualify us. Strengthen our confidence in who you have made us to be. Set us free from comparison in order to work together efficiently. Lord, bless this meeting today, all those present, as well as the lives of those we encounter afterwards, ready to make us make every moment count. In Jesus' name, amen.
Songsters, our first offering this afternoon is a positive and uplifting presentation in a gospel style, suggesting that all these things we don't fully understand here on earth will one day be made clear as we sing. We'll understand it better by and by. We're going to sing two songs together. This then will be followed by a simple and direct message of God's love as Gemma sings to us, Boundless Love.
you enjoyed that as much as I did. It's wonderful, wonderful. And we shall understand it better by and by, that boundless love of Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to think about that these days, you know, and think about the boundless love of Jesus when we hear that everything's going up in the world that we wouldn't want it to be. But we've got to leave it in his hands for that. And now here's a lovely hymn tune arrangement, really. You will know the words, you will know the tune, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, to the actual hymn tune, French. We hope you enjoy this afternoon.
For that reminder that even when we're feeling a bit weary, even when we're going through the tough times, that God is there. And just the name of Jesus can calm our fears. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from Psalms, a very well-known psalm. But I'm going to read to you this psalm, Psalm 121, from the Passion Translation. And it says this: I look up to the mountains and the hills, longing for God's help. But then I realise that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget or ignore me. He will never slumber or sleep. He is the guardian God for his people Israel. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as he continually watches over you. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and he will protect you forevermore. Amen. We're going to come back and look at those verses very briefly in a short time. We're going to sing again. Now, you're looking very comfortable sitting down there, and we can't have any fear of you falling asleep. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing this song. Hopefully the words will come up. Hopefully the words will come up. There we go. You'll know this song, but it's got a bit of sort of a dancey feel to it, if that's what you like to do. So we're going to stand. If you want to dance, dance, but don't look at me for direction. Okay, but it's four verses, and John will sing the song straight through, please. So let's stand and dance as you feel you want to.
Song are very old. I say that carefully, I suppose, because there may be some people here. The words of our next song were originally conceived in 1934, and having been widely used during meetings led by General Evangeline Booth, have now been set to a contemporary tune, providing a fresh insight into these powerful sentiments. The Saviour sought and found me far from the narrow way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the way that you quietly receive some of those items as well. Good chance to think about and meditate on what they say, what's been sung. Last year, I think it's last year, was our band's 125th. Somebody give me a nod. 130th. Yeah, I'm 5 years younger than most of those, so... last year was the band's 130th anniversary. There's only two or three of the original members here. But for that occasion, we were very fortunate to have a piece of music written specially for us. A gentleman called Dean Jones, who is a very talented army musician, wrote this piece for us. And we only ever played it once last year, and that seemed a bit of a waste, so we thought we'll bring that out again tonight, and I hope you enjoy it. It's written in three movements. Don't panic, they're short. When somebody says it's three movements, you know, you think, oh dear, let's put the kettle on. But no, they're not too long. They start off based on the hymn tune, Crowning with Many Crowns. That's the first movement. The last movement is the song Love Divine, or Love's Excelling, so you're going to know those well. Now, the middle movement, you might not know, but it's going to sound familiar because the songsters have just sung it. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know if it was planned. Was it, Kevin? No, it wasn't planned, you see. So you're going to get a double dose of You Sought and Found Me tonight. But then it's not a bad thing to have a double dose of, is it? Dean called this piece Conviction. And that's the message that comes through it. So here we are then, specially written for the Felixstowe Band. This is the second only world performance. Okay, and you've gotten here for no extra charge, even though this is a second world performance, Conviction. Thank you.
Well, it's my privilege to be able to introduce Jonah to come up and play his cornet solo. Jonah took part in the Young Musician of the Year competition at his local school. There's about 30 students took part. There was about 20 of them took part in the grade 5 and under. Joe completed his grade 5 this year. And Jonah was trying to think of a cornet solo to play. And he came up with the idea of playing a solo called They Need Christ. Now, Jonah gave his testimony earlier today, but actually I was amazed by the fact that so many people came up to speak to us afterwards about our faith because Jonah decided to play They Need Christ as his cornet solo in the Young Musician of the Year. One of the things they commented on, actually there were people trying to do very complicated pieces, but Joe came runner-up in the piece in his section. The person who won it played Moonlight Sonata absolutely perfectly. But Joe came second, and one of the things that I think we were really most pleased with was the fact they commented on his tone and phrasing, and they said actually it was a really good expression of seeing somebody who could actually sing through their instrument to be able to sing a tune, but also to portray a message. And I thought that was really, really kind of the best compliment you could probably get, actually, from something like that. So Jonah's going to be accompanied this time instead of by a piano, by just a slimmed down version of the band. So we'll please, if you'd encourage Jonah as he brings us his first evening solo.
Thank you.
Well done, Jonah. You can relax now, and so can your mum. And we'll pray for you, Jonah, as in the days ahead, that you'll not only keep playing your corner, as I'm sure you will, but that also you'll use that as part of your witness in that school. Because it must be hard. You're one of many, and you have to stand firm, and we'll be praying for you in the days to come. If you've worshipped with us over the past few months, you will know that we've been looking at holy habits. We've done prayer. We've done Bible teaching, not that we're going to stop doing them, but we've looked at those. And now we're looking at service. Now, serving as part of our discipleship will look completely different for each one of us, because it's as individual as we are. But one common thread is that we all need God's help and protection to do it, because serving God can be dangerous at times. We're not sure what maybe he's calling us to do, but we just have to have faith in order to do it. Earlier, we read Psalm 121, a very familiar psalm. But it comes in that block of psalms. If you ever read the titles above the psalms, you will know that from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, they are all entitled A Song for Pilgrims Ascending to Travellers. So it's like the prayer section for travellers, really, isn't it? When we go on a journey, regardless of the length of our journey, we all need to make sure that we've got everything we might need and that we're going to be as safe as we can be. So we make sure that our cars are roadworthy, we've got enough petrol, the sat nav is there. Or if we're going on the bus or the train, we make sure we've got the right tickets, and we even make sure we get on the right bus or the right train. If you go through the airport, your luggage is scanned, and then your luggage is scanned, and then you're scanned, and your boarding pass and everything, or your ID is checked over and over, because we're all trying to ensure that we arrive safely at our destination. And I guess that's really what the psalmist is trying to do as well. He's thinking about how he can remain safe on his journey. Where can he find that protection from? And he finds it in God. Some commentators say that the first two verses, or three, I think it's up to verse four, is really the request of the traveller. We're asking, or the traveller is asking God to keep him safe. And the rest of the psalm, some say, is what the priest said in reply to that. It's like a blessing of his journey. Now, devout Jews usually travel to Jerusalem at least three times a year to celebrate the religious feast days and festivals. And that's probably where the psalmist was going. The journey would take a few days, and it certainly wouldn't have been particularly easy or safe. But at the beginning of the psalm, we see that he looks to the mountains to find his help. Why would you look to the mountains? Well, possibly because that's where the temple was. In 2 Chronicles, we read about Solomon's prayer of dedication for his temple that he'd built. And he says, "May you watch over this temple day and night. May you always hear the prayers I make towards this place." And the psalmist would have been familiar with that. So knowing that is probably why he turned to the mountains, to the temple, so that God would hear his prayers. Now, during the summer, we were fortunate enough to spend a few days in the Rocky Mountains. And the scenery is absolutely stunning. And when we're travelling through them, you can't quite understand the size of these mountains or the lakes or the glaciers as you're going around. They are huge. When you stand and look at them, you think, oh, there's an inch of snow up there. But they're probably so far away, goodness knows how deep that snow is. But one day we went to a glacier and we walked on it. That was quite surreal because you start off in your shorts and t-shirt, you go on a monster truck, and you end up in layers and layers as you're walking on the ice. And the lady that drove us up in this monster truck, who was about 12, I think, a bit scary, she said, well, this isn't actually the glacier. This is like the tip of it, the bit that's come over the edge, because the main glacier is over the mountains, and nobody really knows the size of it. It is just so enormous that you can't really appreciate it, despite how many photos you take, and we've got hundreds, they're not the same. So in looking to the mountains, the psalmist was probably also reminded of God's power. Our Creator God made the heavens, the earth, the mountains, everything in it. But he also made us in his image, and he knows us, and he loves us nonetheless. So if he made the world, then surely he's able to help us. Isaiah 40 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God is our strength. And the psalmist knew that. He knew that God was able to help him and strengthen him not only through this journey to Jerusalem, but throughout his life's journey as well. Now, I guess the journey to Jerusalem would have been a wee bit difficult. This particular traveller knew that there was always the chance that he could slip or fall or injure himself. But he also knew that his God watched over his children. We all get tired and we all fall asleep. But verse 3 reminds us that he, God, who watches over us, will not slumber. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." So what can happen to us then? His journey would also have taken him through unfamiliar territory. He wouldn't necessarily know where the danger spots were, where the robbers and the thieves could possibly hide and attack. But God also promised to be his protector. And he makes the same promise to us. He doesn't promise that we will never face danger, or that life will be lovely and fluffy all the time. But he does promise that he will be with us, and he will keep us going. Our traveller would also have to endure the searing heat of the day and the dramatic drop in temperature at night. Isaiah 25 reminds us that God has been a refuge from the storm and a shade from the heat. Have you ever seen a vine wrapped around a tree for protection? When a storm strikes and the vine is on the side of the tree away from the wind, then the tree protects the vine in the storm. But if the vine is on the exposed side of the tree, then the wind only serves to press the vine closer to the tree it is already clinging to. In the storms of our lives, God will at times put himself between us and the storm to protect us. But at other times, he will expose us to the storm so that we get pushed closer to him. And the final two verses of that psalm reminds us that God is our preserver. He watches over us all the time, in the everyday comings and goings of life. He's watching us when we go shopping, when we go to work, when we go to school or to the doctors. He sees us leave and come home again. Our Father is concerned with every minor detail of our lives. He's concerned about our problems and wants to help. We're all on a journey of life. So let's remember that God is our helper, our keeper, and our protector as we journey through life with him. The songsters are going to sing to us again, and it's a song called "The Majesty and Glory of Your Name." It's based on Psalm 8, as was our previous song when Sheena won the award for dancing. And it talks about the majesty and the greatness of our Creator God and how he made us just a little lower than himself. And he gave us the world to have authority over. Given that, how can we fail but to worship the majesty and glory of his name?
Into the night sky.
Thank you so much. That's great music. So I'll do like that. My part is to turn the pages on the piano. Just about get that right. I've had to be very careful here tonight because I've got my mother-in-law here. So I have to be very careful. But for those of you who don't know, my mother-in-law is very involved in the Catholic Church in Woodbridge, and I thought we'd better have a Catholic song tonight for her. So, she said to me before we came out this morning, we sang a Salvation Army type song, which turned out to God be the glory, great things he's done, which is lovely. But this one, Jean, is written by Cardinal Newman. I think he started off as an Anglican priest, actually, didn't he? Ah, you see, he's changed from Anglican to Catholicism. Today they go from Tory to Lib Dem, don't they? But, it's a similar sort of switch here. But Cardinal Newman wrote lots and lots of huge expanse of works of poetry and things, and hardly any of them that survived today. There's this song, and Lee Kindly Light, the only ones that perhaps know now. But he wrote a work called The Dream of Gerontius, which Sir Edward Albarn put to music eventually. And this next song comes from that. So there you are, you see a bit of a history lesson tonight as well as a lesson music, okay. So if you'd like to stand, and we're going to sing Praise to the Holiest in the Height. Here we are. And in the depths we praise, in all his words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways. Would you like to stand and stretch your legs for a moment? Thank you. Chinyaja, which is an African language. But apparently there's 15 million people in the world speak this language. You think I've been looking this up? No, just a minute. 15 million people. Well, that's not as silly as it sounds. It actually means fear not. And we came across a piece of music last year, and we had it given to us actually. Been written by a Salvationist in Africa. It's the first piece of music that he has submitted. His name is Avalan Letizi. Now, I've never heard of him either. I googled him as well, and he's written loads of music. It's all on the internet. It's all free. We might try and print some more, I think. It's quite good. But he's written this lovely little march, which we're going to play to you as the band's last album tonight. It's based on a very old Salvation Army chorus called "We'll Never Run Away." Don't know how many of you remember that. Oh, Linda does. She's smiling already. Gosh, your mum must have told you. So here we are, Fear Not, Wonga Vo. by Avalon Litsiki.
From the songsters, prayer for us all, the Lord bless thee and keep thee.